and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say Amen Nation.
You know, every day at this time, it is shot or no shot on the Captain Jay Hood show, even when Jeff Meller and Tyler Aki are filling in. We've got our man Charlie Bevins behind the glass producing the show. Charlie, take it away.
All right, boys. Shot or no shot, of course, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action in your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races. Good morning, Secretariat. Or on the go at the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Register at Club Hawthorne now for a chance at $12,000 cash on January 1st.
Charlie, what's
going on?
All right,
boys. The NFL season is nearing its end with 2 weeks left, and our Chicago Bears, as we've talked extensively about, have had a rough year. They are, however, a half game back of the Texans for the number one overall pick. We've seen franchises change their entire complexion by trading a top pick to a quarterback needy team. Think Tennessee trading the first overall pick to the Rams for Goff, or the haul of picks the Dolphins got from San Francisco for just the third overall pick. The Bears have also never picked number one before and have a chance to dramatically increase the resources available to them in this rebuild. Shot or no shot, this is the most pivotal 2 weeks in Chicago Bears history.
I'm going to go no shot. I'm going to say the 2 weeks, the Super Bowl week, and then the week before that in the NFC Championship in 1986 for that 85 Bears team were the two most pivotal weeks in Bears history.
I'll disagree just slightly. I'll say no shot as well to the question. I disagree, though. I think it was almost fait accompli, to be honest with you, Tyler, that the Bears were going to walk into the Superdome and just blitz the Patriots. And it kind of played out that way. So I don't think, honestly, that because it was expected, to be honest with you, at that point. So, and they had dominated the entire season, so to the tune of 15-1, where nobody was really concerned about the Super Bowl.
Could you imagine if they had lost that game?
Certainly, but you know why I say it wasn't? Because they were famously out on Bourbon Street partying during Super Bowl week. So clearly, Jim McMahon was breaking curfew. It was he had created a media frenzy because he had mooned the entire city of New Orleans, and and helicopter had caught it on for video for TV. So I think the way they handled it kind of showed it wasn't necessarily important, but I see what you're saying. I'll say it's an interesting point, Charlie, but no shot, because you're right, the fortunes could potentially be there, but with no clear-cut number one quarterback, I don't know if there will be the same type of, you know, free-for-all in terms of teams wanting to trade up for that number one overall pick. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. Now, Young's size, I think, is really the issue, right? If he were taller, then he would be the clear-cut number one guy. But his size really is going to have questions when we come around to the draft. So I'm going to say no shot, because I also think if they end up picking second, they may still have plenty of opportunities to trade out of that. So
I agree with you.
All right, we've talked about it a lot this morning, but the Bulls pulled off an incredible comeback in a 119-113 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Most importantly, however, they showed a fight we really haven't seen this season, and the energy from the team is the best it's looked all year. After taking plenty of heat the last couple weeks regarding his team's competitiveness and basically publicly begging his team to put more effort into their games, shot or no shot, Billy Donovan has finally broken through to the Bulls.
I hope so. I'll say shot. I'm hoping that the team is just fed up with the conversations around their, the talents on the roster and not matching the results, right? So I'm hoping that after what we saw last night, this is a path to a more competitive basketball team.
I'm going to go no shot, because this seems like a player-driven team. You've got some leaders on this team, some guys who have made some all-star teams. And we've heard even some of the conversations in that piece with Shams Charania and Darnell Mayberry dissecting the inner workings of the Bulls and the dysfunction that was happening. It's the one-on-one, face-to-face meetings between LaVine and DeRozan. It feels like it's kind of a player-led team. So I'm going to go no shot. I think that this is the players kind of maybe even like the after that piece came out, it's all right, that was the kick in the ass that they needed to kind of band together. So I'm going to say it's more of the players than the coach.
All right. The Bears play the Lions this week, and Matt Eberflus was asked about the culture the Lions have set, and this is what he had to say. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the strength of their team is the offensive line. You know, that's the most talent, you know, they have on their groups, and certainly they've been playing very well. You know, they do a really good job of, you know, limiting sacks and doing those types of things, and obviously been doing a good job running the ball, you know, as of late. So, again, that's always a big part of having success is offensive line.
The Lions have spent years building up their offensive line, and obviously Dan Campbell's influence has made that team pretty aggressive and very tough. Shot or no shot, it's the Lions, actually, who have set an example for the Bears to follow.
I'll say shot in the sense that building an offensive line is really what should be one of the top priorities for the Bears. But we went over it a lot yesterday, too. Tyler and I did. The defensive line also is a huge issue for the Bears. So even though the offensive line, I think Justin Fields gives you an opportunity to, I'm not going to say ignore the offensive line, but his ability to scramble, evade tacklers, I think that gives you a leg up on a lot of other teams where you don't need to have an offensive line full of Pro Bowlers or all pros. I think you can have just a serviceable offensive line, and where you need the most help still continues to be on the defensive side of the ball, because Justin Fields has that unique ability to not need a clean pocket all the time.
I agree with you on that front there. I'm going to say no shot here. I still think it's the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's not just because their record right now is sitting at 13-2, but they kind of tackled everything over the course of a couple of years here. They addressed the offensive line. They've had a rock-solid offensive line this year. Their defensive line is menacing. They went out and got the number one receiver. They've drafted a really talented receiver who could be a number one on a lot of teams as well. He sure as hell would be a number one on this team. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with no shot. I still think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, the NFC North is a doozy this year. The expected runaway winners, the Green Bay Packers, have found themselves in a fight for their playoff lives. Nobody believes in the Vikings, and the Bears are, well, the Bears. But the Bears' upcoming opponent, the Lions, have been one of the main stories of the NFL. They have an electrifying offense, a defense that's played better as of late, as you guys talked about, and multiple first-round draft picks, including one in the top 10 from the Rams. Shot or no shot, the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC North next year.
I'm still going to go no shot. I think I'm more concerned about both the Vikings and Packers, and maybe that is just a product of Jared Goff being your quarterback. You're right, though, Charlie. They do have a lot of talent on the roster. I do think the Packers have an opportunity to get better. And you're right. No, while nobody necessarily believes in the Vikings, I think at 12-3 and with Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connor, the new head coach for the Vikings being there, I think they've unlocked Kirk Cousins in a way that is going to help them go as far as they possibly can. Now, that might not necessarily mean a Super Bowl appearance, but I think that the Vikings are still more talented and more of a concern when it comes to winning the division for me than the Lions are.
I'll go shot. I think that they are a team, though, that is, that being the Lions, with draft capital, and they've done a pretty good job of drafting. If you look at their most recent draft and some of the other ones that they've had, too, I'm going to go a shot. Listen, I think this division could be wide open next year, and it could be one of those years where you look at whoever has the lowest odds, like the worst odds to win the division, and there might be the most value on that team. It very well could be the Bears to have that most value, because it could be any of the four teams next year. I'd imagine from a wins and loss perspective, we'll see the Vikings take a step back, not necessarily from a production standpoint, but from a wins and loss standpoint. Some of those one-score games probably will go the other way next year. The Packers, I'd imagine, will be a little bit better, and the Bears and Lions, I think, will both be better next year. So it could be a wide-open division. So I'll say there's a shot that the Lions are the team to beat next year.
Alrighty.
All right, we talked about this a little bit this morning, about how it relates to the Bears, but I'm curious what you guys think of this situation in general. It was announced that Derek Carr will be benched the last two games of the season for the Las Vegas Raiders. But not only that, he will be stepping away from the team entirely. Things are messy in Vegas right now. They tried to microwave themselves into a competitive roster with the Davante Adams trade, only to enter the offseason starting over at quarterback. Shot or no shot, this thing is already unraveling for Kevin Ziegler and Josh McDaniels in Vegas.
I do think it shot. It is possibly unraveling because the fact that they tried to make it work with Derek Carr, and maybe they had to, but the problem is for the Raiders now what it is for most teams in the NFL. They need a quarterback. They thought maybe Josh McDaniels was not necessarily convinced that he was the guy, but contractually they were obligated to hang with Carr for at least this first year. I do wonder, though, if they move off of Derek Carr, could this be the landing spot for Tom Brady next year?
Ooh.
Josh McDaniels, obviously somebody who Tom Brady knows very, very well, and with Davante Adams already in place, and could Josh Jacobs change his tune? We played the sound yesterday about him being very disappointed with where they're at as a franchise. You wonder if Tom Brady, who is a free agent next year, is looking for a new location. All of a sudden, remember, there were rumors that Tom Brady could have ended up with the Raiders that you know, bubbled to the surface earlier in the season. So you wonder, Tom Brady to the Raiders, is that the next move in this domino? The next domino?
It certainly could be. That's a total shot for me to the original question of, is this thing unraveling? This thing's a disaster. And unfortunately fortunately for Josh McDaniels, there wasn't a giant move to go get the quarterback, or otherwise his fate very well could have been just like Nathaniel Hackett's. And he could have been one of those coaches that goes one and done, because it's been a disaster. As bad as it's been in Denver, I think it's been equally as bad with the Raiders. When you look at the double-digit leads that have been blown, the Broncos are just playing bad. The Raiders are collapsing in these games. And you look at some of the results that they've had, and listen, you were on the right end of one of them, too, with that game against the Patriots when they're throwing the ball all around the yard and you come away with the scoop and score there. So it's a shot for me. This thing is unraveling in Vegas, and I think we could see some major shakeups within the roster. Maybe not with the coaching staff yet, but there, Josh McDaniels is going to be on the hot seat for next year.
I'll add one more point to this, is that yes, it's unraveling for Vegas, but in the sense for McDaniels, I don't believe it is, because I think he's got a lot of leash here, especially with them currently paying John Gruden. I don't think they're going to be in any, you know, I don't think Mark Davis is going to be moving quickly to fire Josh McDaniels. I think he's got a lot of rope here, so I think he'll still be the head coach of the Raiders for a couple of years at the bare minimum.
All right, how about this for a little impromptu shot or no shot? The Raiders are actually a tale of caution of what happens when you try to go for it too quickly.
I will say no shot, because again, I think Tyler made the point. When you don't mortgage your future for a quarterback, and I don't think they did with Derek Carr necessarily. Sure, they get, and I don't think they paid an exorbitant price for Davante Adams, right? A first and a second was a reasonable, you know, deal that they made for him, an elite player. And I think even though maybe it's wishful thinking trying to will it into existence for the Bears to go find a way to trade for Davante Adams, I think the likelihood is he'll still be back with the Raiders next season, especially if, again, that possible alternative plan is trying to coax Tom Brady to come play his final years in Vegas.
I'll also go no shot there, because Davante Adams hasn't been the problem in Vegas. It's been because of the quarterback. It's been because some of the surrounding pieces. It's been because of some of the injuries, too, that team has had. I mean, Darren Waller's missed a good portion of the season, and he's been one of their most talented pass catchers. So I will say no shot, because Davante Adams hasn't been a part of the problem. And like you laid out, I think it was very well worth the first and second round pick that they traded to go get him. And on top of that, you're only really biting the bullet in one draft if you're Vegas. They're going to be back, and I don't know what their current draft situation is, but they're not set back this year because of the Davante Adams trade in the draft.
Yeah, they traded their first-round pick last year. They do have their pick this year. Right now, they'd currently be picking ninth. So I think when you think about, you know, it's when you give up multiple first-round picks, that's when you're really concerned, because you're giving up a couple of years' worth of first-round picks. When you're just giving up one first-round pick and you're getting an elite player back, that there's a cost certainty to that you can definitely swallow. 312-332-3776 if you'd like to discuss the Bears and the idea of going after Davante Adams. Justin Fields spoke yesterday. He talked about what a win could mean against the Lions. We'll share that with you next here on ESPN 1000.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
With you here in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning on ESPN 1000, discussing the Las Vegas Raiders benching of Derek Carr and how the fallout of that could potentially lead to a upset Davante Adams. Will he be back with the Raiders next year? Obviously, they gave up a first and second round pick to obtain him from the Packers last season, so you have to imagine Josh McDaniels wants him back, especially when he's had a productive season, almost 1,300 receiving yards, 12 touchdowns. So he's been very good for them. So you'd imagine they want him back. But as he mentioned, and we played it earlier, that Derek Carr's the reason he's there.
Obviously, I don't think anybody was excited about it in here. You know, him being one of my really good friends and, you know, the reason why I came here in the first place. I mean, I wouldn't be here right now if he wasn't, if he wasn't here.
So he reminded people yesterday, hey, that's the reason I'm here. So we'll see how this plays out. Is he going to be available? And should he be somebody that the Bears target? Chad is in Schaumburg. What do you think, Chad?
I think that they absolutely should not target him. I don't think they should be going after 30-year-old receivers like him or DeAndre Hopkins. I think everybody needs to be patient. They should be putting their resources into an offensive line so that way Justin Fields has actually time to throw to a wide receiver. I think they should be going after younger receivers that can grow with Justin Fields. And I think that the next 6 months are like going to have a major effect on the Bears for like the next probably 5 to 10 years. Like if they blow this draft, then I think that it's going to be like the Trubisky draft where they're just not going to be good for another 6 or 7 years. So and I'm a little concerned, too, because it looks like this regime is able to draft defensive players, but I don't know if they can identify offensive skill players because their first pick they use on a 25-year-old rookie wide receiver who can't hold on to the ball, it's not really encouraging. But I think Bears fans in general just need to be patient. Their roster's trash, so trading picks for somebody who's 30 years plus is not the best idea.
It's a fair point, Chad, and I do think you make a good point. This draft is going to be critical for the future success of the Bears. This last one that Ryan Poles, his first opportunity to make some selections, Brisker and Gordon look like they're, you know, Brisker, I think, has displayed more than Gordon has, but I think both have looked like they're keepers in the secondary.
I would say Gordon's developed more.
Yes.
Like Brisker, it looked like right away from day one, he was that dude that you knew would be a future starter on this team. But Gordon, over the course of the year, I feel like has improved more than Brisker has.
But I think it's a great point by Chad. This next draft is absolutely critical to the success of this franchise going forward. And what they do with this high pick, whether they choose to make a selection, maybe, you know, and you would think it's, if they keep it, you have to imagine it's got to be defensive line, right? Like, I would think based on the talent available to them, whether it's going to, you know, you have to imagine if they keep that pick, they're going to be selecting because that's the biggest need outside of the offensive line. But what's funny is Chad brings up, you know, Velus Jones not being impressive. I thought Chad was going to drop, hey, and they also traded for Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like looking at this going, okay, certainly he's dealing with a knee and he didn't practice yesterday. It's trending in a direction where I would not be surprised at all if we do not see Chase Claypool the rest of the year. And so if that's the case, and even if he does play this game or, you know, or the final two games, it's going to be hard to make any type of real snap judgments on what he is with Justin Fields. It's going to take more from him next season. We're going to have to see it in training camp and early into the season before we know how he fits into this offense, right, and whether or not they've made a mistake.
And I think Bears fans should have a shorter fuse with Chase Claypool than with Velus Jones. Like, Velus Jones is a rookie, right? It's going to take a little bit of time. He's a third-round rookie. It's not like he was a first-round draft pick. Now, has it been more frustrating with Velus Jones this year? Absolutely. He's also been on the team longer this season, but there's...
I was going to say, it's only been more frustrating because he's had more of an opportunity to frustrate, right? Like, but if you think about it...
But like, Chase Claypool, that's a high draft pick that, let's say the Bears do end up getting the number one overall pick, that's the 32nd pick in the draft because the Miami Dolphins are without a first-round pick. It's essentially a first-round pick that you gave up if you do end up with the number one overall pick. And let's be honest, Steelers fans were more than happy to get rid of Chase Claypool. Yep. They were shooing him out of town and really have been since his rookie year. They were not very encouraged with what they've seen the last couple of years out of him.
Yeah, no, so it's absolutely a fair point that Chad brings up. I'll say, too, underrated sometimes is not just the fact that it's a high. It'll be a very high second-round pick, right? If they end up picking first overall and they did trade away 30, I guess it'll be the 32nd pick because, remember,
right.
The Dolphins have lost their draft, right. Their first round pick this season. So, you know, they could have theoretically traded away the 32nd pick for Chase Claypool, which in any other draft would be a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
And think about the reason that is also important is there's oftentimes that pick can be traded for significant pieces too, because there's the day off.
Yes.
For the NFL draft, which occurs on Thursday night. The first round is on Thursday. Teams then have a whole, you know, 20-hour period to kind of regroup and assess their board. And when they do that, they start saying, I can't believe this guy's still on the board, right? Like, that happens in
all the time.
Like, every team is looking at their draft board going, there's some guy on their board that they can't believe wasn't selected in the first round, which creates a bit of a feeding frenzy for those top second-round picks, because it's not minutes that you have to make a trade. It's an actual almost full day that you have to go ahead and get on the phone and barter out a deal. And so it's, you know, I know I have to believe Ryan Poles did not think they were going to be drafting this high when he made the trade for Chase Claypool. And maybe that's a miscalculation if we really drill down, because you did trade away Roquan Smith. You did trade away Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. Maybe he should have been more open to the idea that this team truly was going to tank without, you know, them asking them to tank, but because they were taking away talent from the defense, it was going to be more difficult for them to win games. So maybe he should have been more open to the idea that the pick he was trading for Chase Claypool, there was a much higher likelihood that it was going to be a higher pick.
You know, it's funny you bring up the trading of like that first, what's traditionally the 33rd pick in the draft. Because every year I feel like I'm like, that team didn't draft number one overall. And it's like you'll see like the Colts there or some other team that's like not bad. They clearly weren't bad enough, but maybe they were like 7-9 that season.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them with that 33rd overall pick. You're like, how did you get that pick?
Yeah.
And then it turns into a pretty good player usually.
Yeah, and I think it is. It's because teams have like a full day to contemplate, oh, I can't believe this guy's on the board. We have to go up and get it. Let's go make the move. And it gives them time to kind of sort it out and figure it out. So, yeah, it could be a very valuable pick. The Bears traded away for Chase Claypool. Let's try Barry, who's in the South Loop. Barry, you're on with Miller and Aki in for Cap'n J. Hood.
Hey, guys. Good morning and Happy New Year to you. So I got a crazy idea, man. First of all, I would still try to figure out a way to get T. Higgins if I could do that. But if I can't, what I would do is I would pick up the phone and I would call Arizona. I would swap number one picks with them and then try to get a couple of extra picks. And I would pick up Hopkins and I would send them Claypool out there and try to get their first round pick and maybe a couple of more. I would then take their first round pick and maybe a first round pick for next year. And then I would go after Davante Adams, because now I've got Justin Fields, I've got a running game, and I've got a tight end. And I've got a lot of money left because these guys are already under contract. I would go out, because if you look at the free agent class for next year, what's on the defensive line and offensive line is a lot better than what you have for skill players at wide receiver and everything else. And given Justin Fields receivers who can get open, even if he doesn't have the best offensive line, I believe would be a damn good offense for us, man. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate the call.
I think Barry just laid out the plot of draft day to us.
He's playing the role.
Sonny Weaver.
Kevin Costner played by Barry in the South Loop. Interesting. That's a lot. And honestly, I don't know. I don't think Arizona is going to be in the market to move up because they're tied to Kyler Murray, whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Cliff Kingsbury, there's issues going on in that front office. The report that came out last week on ESPN.com, I believe it was Seth Wickersham who wrote it, just about the absurdity. I don't know if you caught the quote in there, Tyler. Cliff Kingsbury, a source close to Cliff Kingsbury said that the Cardinals are not allowing Cliff Kingsbury to be great.
Hmm.
That was inside the story there. So I wonder who that source close to Cliff Kingsbury could be.
He's got a very loyal agent.
Yes, that or Cliff Kingsbury's the source. Yeah. Either way, let's quickly try Daryl and Homewood before we get to deal breakers. Daryl, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, bud?
Hey, I was thinking of another scenario. Like, why we ain't thinking if, like, the Raiders could call us and see what they need to get, give us to give us to get the number 2 pick or 1 pick. Since they got that number 9 pick, mm-hmm. they might call us and want to trade us Devontae Adams and a 9th pick. Or Darren Waller and a 9th pick.
Interesting. I like that, Daryl.
He'll be able to get a defensive help with the 9th pick.
Interesting. I like that. How about that? The trade down by the Bears to the Raiders, in which Devontae Adams is actually involved. Now, that makes, I'll be honest, I think that would probably, you're going to have to work things out with, the Raiders might want a little more, but that is a path that seems much more likely if you want to talk it through. How do the Bears get Devontae Adams? Well, could they get the, right now the Raiders are sitting at 9th, but they could fall to, they could easily go up to 8-2. So would you, you know, a back end of the top 10 pick along with Devontae Adams for your first rounder? I mean, the Bears
might have to send like a third or a fourth.
Yes, exactly. But now you've got all of a sudden, yeah, interesting. Now, if Devontae Adams is upset and he wants out of Las Vegas, now maybe you've started to construct a deal that could work for both teams.
And it's one that doesn't hamper you down the road either. Like, you're still getting a first-round pick this year. You'll still have your first-round pick next year. Yep. You'll still have your second-round pick next year. And you'll still have your second-round pick this year via the Ravens, too. So it's one of those moves where it's not going to do a lot of long-term damage. Like, the last time you made a big trade with the Raiders, where even though Khalil Mack was pretty good those first couple of years with the Bears, it certainly set this team up for failure because you couldn't retool at some positions that you needed to.
I like it. Very intriguing, Daryl. 312-332-3776, talking Bears, whether or not they should be in the market for Devontae Adams. And it is Thursday, which means it is time for Deal Breakers. We'll do that next here on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at CapJayHood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Is this the part where I say that Deal Breakers is brought to you by SEO Level Up, Charlie?
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right. Got it down. Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki in for Cap'n Jay Hood. It is Thursday, which means it is time for Deal Breakers. I am a Deal Breaker virgin, so be gentle here, Charlie.
We'll see about that. All right. It's New Year's Eve, and your significant other decided to take it easy this year and just have a quiet night in. It was something you'd planned for a while. You made a lovely dinner, dressed nice, all the cute stuff. Of course, you're staying up late for the ball drop, but at 9:30, your partner declares they're going to bed. They're honestly, truly not mad, just tired. Is this a deal breaker?
Boy, this is deal breaker. I'll tell you what, I've lived this multiple New Year's Eves. There was a New Year's Eve where my wife, Michelle, and I had plans to go out. We had, I don't know if we were going to, I don't even know, because it was probably 15 years ago now at this point. We had plans to go out. I showed up to her mom's house at the time, and her mom was gone for the evening, and she was sick beyond belief, throwing up. I spent the entire evening with her in bed and essentially watching a Law and Order marathon. Dead serious. That's how I spent one New Year's Eve. And then,
what year were you ringing it in that year? Do you remember?
I don't know the exact year, but my guess was that it was fairly early in our relationship. So it was, we weren't married yet. It was probably like 2003, 4.
Okay.
It was definitely, you know, so it's back then, yeah, Law and Order marathon. That was one New Year's Eve. And I do feel like over the last 5 to 8 years, Charlie, we have stayed, we generally stayed, especially because I have twins, kids who are 12 years old. So oftentimes, if we're not at a friend's house where they have friends hanging out, we will be at home ourselves. And there have been numerous New Year's Eves where my wife has been in bed well before the ball drop. And I'm talking well before the New York, you know, apple drop. So she's been in bed by 10:30 plenty of times. So this is not a deal breaker for me. I'll promise you that.
I will say this is 1,000% a deal breaker. I mean, it's one thing. Okay, you're struggling to get to the finish line and you don't make it to midnight. You maybe cash out at like 11, 11:30.
You've been planning on this for a while, too.
But 9:30? Like, what? Especially at my age, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit of a different context for your age, but at 25, if you're out at 9:30, there's an issue here. So that is a deal breaker.
Charles, is it a deal breaker for you is the question.
I don't think so. Honestly, like, there's a good chance I'm going to do this, like, within the next few years.
Yes. Don't worry. It's coming for you, boys. Don't worry. I promise.
All right. Let's go back in the time machine. Let's go back to last week. You've been with your significant other for a while now, and you're at a critical juncture in the relationship. You're going to meet the family on Christmas Eve. You get there early, help set up. You even help cook. Once you've gone above and beyond in preparing the Christmas festivities, you decide it's time to unwind with the full slate of Christmas Eve football.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the living room and see, however, there is no television. They aren't watching football. They don't watch sports. They didn't even know there were games today. Instead, you're stuck playing board games, a white elephant. You think you overheard someone say they're going to sing songs around the fireplace? Regardless of what the alternative is, you're missing a pivotal week of football on Christmas because of this family. Is this a deal breaker?
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is a deal breaker. And the fact that there's no television in sight is red flags all over the place. I'm sorry. We are not compatible. Things are going to happen, you know, either that or we will never spend a holiday with your family again.
Dude, that's not a red flag. That's a white flag. Like, it's over.
Yes,
it is over.
Absolutely.
No televisions in sight. What goes on there? Like, and then, yeah, you laid out the rest of the festivities, and when you've got NFL football on, no thank you.
We're going Christmas caroling.
What?
No. I will stay back at home, and the good news is you can watch everything on your phone, so you don't even need a TV anymore.
Yeah.
You just be like, I'm going to go sit in the corner. I'm going to pull up my my DirecTV Sunday Ticket app and watch the NFL action.
I think that's the week I play sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You guys were talking about movies earlier. How about this? You've just met someone and the two of you plan to see a movie together for a first date. How about Avatar: The Way of Water? You get into the theater and this person tells you they're going to get popcorn and you'll just meet at the seats. They come back and you reach for some popcorn out of the large bucket and they tell you, whoa, if you wanted popcorn, you should have gotten some for yourself. Is this a deal breaker?
Yes, absolutely. We've got issues if you can't share. This is a litmus test. If you refuse to share your popcorn, first of all, I'm concerned because at any movie theater, you should know by now, if you haven't figured it out, they're more than willing to feed you an endless supply of popcorn. It costs them nothing, right? They just want you to buy the big package and they will fill it endlessly, right? Mm-hmm. And then also they want you to keep drinking the soda, right? That's their biggest profit margin. So yes, if you're not willing to share your popcorn,
your endless supply,
yeah, we've got issues here. Now maybe they didn't buy the big tub that is, you know, for free refills. Still, there's an issue here. That is a deal breaker yet again because I think it's kind of a window into your psyche as a person if you're unwilling to share.
Yeah, it's a little territorial and a strange thing to be territorial about. Deal breaker. 100% deal breaker.
Especially because it's popcorn. Like,
yeah,
it's a little different if maybe you bought some candy and like you're rationing out, like the supply is not as limitless. But yes, popcorn, no. This is an absolute deal breaker.
Yeah, it's not like you're getting your 10 junior mints and then
you don't want to share your Swedish fish. Okay, I can maybe understand it a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right, how about this? You've been seeing someone for a little while now, and it's going really well. You've been taking things slow, and they bring you back to their place. But when you walk in, they pull a Care Bear out of their bag that they said they've had since they were 5. You then find out they've brought that Care Bear on every date you've been on because it goes everywhere with them. And not only that, they can't sleep without said Care Bear. Is this a deal breaker?
Wait, aren't most of these based on true stories?
This one is.
This one is?
Not the last ones.
Oh, you've got some friends, man.
Now, go ahead.
So, Yes, this is a deal breaker. Like, I get, like, sometimes you need your little rabbit's foot from time to time, but, like, a Care Bear? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I guess, like, I feel like Care Bears are a little outdated for me, but this would be, like, similar if someone was carrying around a Webkinz.
This is hilarious because, okay, Charlie has no idea, no way to know this, but I am a child of the 80s. My wife is a child of the 80s. This is when Care Bears were invented and brought to the forefront. For a graduation gift from college, I actually purchased for my wife every Care Bear. She had, I kid you not. She had probably three or four Care Bears that she got when she was growing up, and she loved them, and she had them in her dorm room at college. We dated throughout college, and when she graduated from college, part of the gift that I purchased her was, this is back in the day when eBay was hot. I purchased every single Care Bear and gave her a big box of Care Bears for her college graduation.
I can't tell if this is a gag gift or sentimental.
This is absolutely... She loved it. She thought it was the greatest thing.
How many were there?
There were probably 25-ish.
So when that shows up at your door, like the 20... Did you have to buy them all individually?
So
or?
I was like, I got about 18 from one seller, and then I just filled in the rest through purchases, you know. So, like, but there was essentially one big box of Care Bears that arrived. And this was before Amazon Prime was, you know, sending out boxes, you know, where you'd get numerous boxes every single day at your door. No, this was a big deal when they arrived.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know what's coincidentally enough? My daughter, who is 12 years old, and she's really into giving gifts. She enjoys the process of giving, which is very cool. My son, he's more in the process of getting. My daughter, though, loves giving gifts. And she, without my knowledge, for my wife, purchased for her this year a Care Bear. Kid you not.
And she had no idea of the context of...
Well, no, my daughter discovered the Care Bears that I bought for my wife, and she loves them. Like,
yeah.
It was the gift that kept on giving because my daughter, at a young age, discovered these Care Bears at one point. They were packed away somewhere in our house, and then one day we, like, stumbled upon them, probably when we were moving one day, and then we were like, oh, my daughter was probably three or four at the time, and she loved them. So it's... Coincidentally enough, she bought my wife a new Care Bear this year. I'll actually, when I get home today, I will go ahead and snap some photos. I'll have to see if I can find the old ones, but I'll snap a photo of the new Care Bear my wife just got this past Christmas from my daughter.
Are Care Bears back? Is this like the new baseball cards and Crocs or whatever? Like, are they back?
Listen, IP that people, you know, can identify with? Absolutely. It's going strong. There are new Care Bears being churned out. And available for purchase. Charlie, was this a deal breaker for you? Is the question?
No, this didn't happen to me.
Okay,
it happened to a friend, right?
To my buddy from back home.
I will say though, my wife did not bring a Care Bear with her everywhere we went, so it's not quite
the
same.
That means you have to carry a backpack everywhere,
well,
right?
So, like, sometimes the Care Bears can be made.
The backpack.
My daughter actually. My daughter made one of the Care Bears that I got my wife into a backpack because she's very crafty.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife was pissed. She's like, you didn't even ask. You just made it into a backpack.
Ripped the stuffing out?
I don't know. She was, my wife was not happy about that. That was a huge fight, actually, in the Meller household. All right. 312-332-3776. That is Deal Breakers, brought to you by SEO Level Up. As we continue to talk Bears and whether or not they should be in on the Raiders with this benching of Derek Carr, what does that mean for the future of Devontae Adams? And up next, we've got an interesting Thursday night football game. We've got the Cowboys against the Titans, and a couple of key players are not playing. We'll tell you about that next here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
which means it's Thursday Night Football. Captain Jay Hood, Meller, and Aki in for the guys today. You've got the Dallas Cowboys visiting the 11-4 Dallas Cowboys, fresh off their win over the Eagles, visiting the 7-8 Tennessee Titans. And what's interesting about this one is Tennessee hosts the Dallas Cowboys. Ryan Tannehill has already been ruled out for the season with the ankle injury. And the Tennessee Titans are in the precarious position of needing to win or they are out. But that's not this week. It's actually next week. What happens tonight means nothing to the Tennessee Titans as they host the Dallas Cowboys. And so the Titans are unlikely to be using Derrick Henry. He is right now doubtful for tonight's game. I saw also that Tony Pollard, this came across within the last half hour, he's also in doubt. So both two of the biggest running backs in fantasy football and marquee players are not going to be playing in tonight's game in all likelihood for the Titans and Cowboys. And in addition, there are several other key starters who are not going to be playing for the Titans on Amazon Prime tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of defensive guys for a team that's certainly defensive-minded, and then, of course, they focus on the ground game, too, with Derrick Henry. But, yeah, this game means nothing to them, and it's all about next week, and you wonder, what are we going to see out of the Jaguars, too, when we do get to that point? So, this weekend...
Which is interesting, too, because the Jaguars this week are playing the Houston Texans.
Right.
And the Bears obviously have a huge interest in what happens in that game.
So... Again, I'm not, if I'm a, now I know you as a avid fantasy player, this is screwing with a lot of things.
Oh man,
listen. Because I'm sure a lot of people were riding Derrick Henry to a championship. But for the casual watcher, like, yeah, tonight's probably going to be a dud of a game. I'd imagine the Cowboys blow him out. But sometimes these are the games that Mike Vrabel ends up, like, really playing close with you, too. And maybe it does end up being a field goal game.
Yeah, no, it's certainly possible, though I lean heavily on the Cowboys in this one. Yeah. I think because they still do have a path where they could theoretically, if the Eagles lose out and the Cowboys win out, I think the Cowboys could win the NFC East. So it's certainly in play, and there even might be a possibility where the Cowboys could get the bye in that event of outcomes. So the Cowboys, I think, even though Pollard's unlikely to play, they've still got plenty of guys, Dak, Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, you know, and their offensive line. So they'll be fine, but the Titans, without their key players, they're already struggling to begin with. Malik Willis doesn't seem like he knows what, you know, he's not NFL caliber at this stage of his career. So I don't know what the Titans are going to do, but Amazon Prime, this is probably not what they were hoping for when they splurged big bucks. But what's interesting, you noted to me when we were talking off the air, the Amazon Prime broadcast has really appealed to you.
Yeah, and not necessarily the game broadcast. I do like Al Michaels. I think Kirk Herbstreit is solid, especially when he gets the right quarterbacks that he saw in college. So, like, when he had Baker Mayfield, even when he had Justin Fields, I thought he was really good. Trevor Lawrence, those are really good from Herbie. But the pregame and postgame show is actually the only one that I make sure I sit down and watch. Of all the NFL pregame, postgame shows that are out there, and especially on the postgame show, because even though it's a younger group of guys who aren't too far removed from the league, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Richard Sherman, and Andrew Whitworth, alongside Tony Gonzalez and Carissa Thompson, but those three guys who I mentioned there first, they're not too far removed from the league, only a year or two out,
yep.
But they're not afraid to be hypercritical of what they saw in the game and some of the players. Like, last week, oh boy, those guys teed off on Zach Wilson. And it was good, it was entertaining, and I was a real fan of it. I like those three guys on the set. I think they do a really good job, and it's not quite at the levels of the inside the NBA crew, but it is entertaining as all hell.
No, I agree with you. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he's got flair. He always is dressed in an interesting manner.
Yep.
And I do think that adds an element where, you know, it's interesting. Andrew Whitworth, you mentioned, he's, you know, fresh off of a Super Bowl, and he definitely had some insight with Baker Mayfield, no doubt about it. They do have, I think, too, you're right. Like, there's a lot of good relationships. You'll see whoever's playing, usually somebody on that set is fairly close to somebody on the teams that are playing, whether it be Fitzpatrick because he played for so many different teams, Whitworth because he's just a great guy and loved across the league. Richard Sherman obviously is a Hall of Fame caliber player who might get there one day.
But he even bounced around the league too.
Exactly.
Towards the end of his
career. You've got a lot of interesting relationships, and so oftentimes when they bring in the star player of the game up to the to the set to do the post game interview, you get some great interactions as well. And you mentioned all those guys are good. And by the way, Tony Gonzalez is always the surly old man who's pissed off about something.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually been unlocked in some ways too, where when he was previously on, he was on both CBS and Fox, right?
I think he did a stint with both.
I say it like it was a prison term, but he did a stint with both. And I think he's definitely been much better in this environment. So yeah, I'm with you. I like what Amazon Prime has done with their pre and post game coverage. The group that they've assembled is definitely a good watch. I'm with you on that.
My favorite thing from last week, they did a little gift exchange at the end, and Richard Sherman got this plush doll of himself. And it's one of those things where you press it and it says something. And do you know what it said?
No, I did not catch that part.
It was a recording of Russell Wilson saying Broncos country.
Yes. And he was visually upset. Yes. You could tell he was not happy with that. 312-332-3776. This is Cap and Jay Hood, Mellor and Aki, in for the guys on ESPN 1000.